Welcome to In Season, where we explore connections between people, land, plants, and wildlife here in the Lower Columbia Pacific region. I'm Teresa Retzloff, and joining me in the studio today are two people I'm so excited to speak to, because we're going to talk about storytelling today, storytelling about wildlife, storytelling about nature. And I have with me Annie Cahill. She's the volunteer coordinator and education coordinator for the Wildlife Center of the North Coast. Hi, Annie.
Hi.
And also joining us is Morgan Heim. And she is a conservation storyteller, telling stories through photography and film. Welcome, Morgan.
Thanks. Hi.
It's so great to have you both here. And just for some context, part of the reason we're having this conversation is because the Wildlife Center right now, this is in March 2026 that we're recording this. If you're listening to this as a podcast at another time, we're talking about this in March. There's a really cool film festival coming up, happening in Astoria. It's called the Wild Coast Film Festival, and it is featuring all kinds of documentaries about nature, and all of the benefits go to the Wildlife Center of the North Coast. So this is a great time to talk about the work of the Wildlife Center and then this very cool storytelling event that's going to be happening really soon. So Annie, maybe tell us a little bit about the Wildlife Center of the North Coast, what it is, what it does, and you know, your work there.
Yeah, so the Wildlife Center of the North Coast is a wildlife rehabilitation and conservation education center here in Astoria. We have been in the area for almost 30 years. It'll be 30 years in 2027, which seems unbelievable. And at this time, we are the expert wildlife rehab for seabirds in the state of Oregon. So seabirds are sort of our specialty, which makes a lot of sense when you think about where we're located. That's a lot of the wildlife that is here on the north coast of Oregon. And we're also the only dedicated conservation education center in the area. So we have both the wildlife rehabilitation program, and then we also do conservation education, both, you know, on site at the center and with programming that we take out into the community. People who are local to the area might know Cormie, the double-crested cormorant.
Such a cool bird.
Who is a resident at the Wildlife Center. She lives with us permanently because she's not releasable, and she often makes appearances in the community to teach people about seabirds and cormorants and native wildlife. This last couple of years, we've been doing a lot of taking her to area schools with a goal of having every kid in Clatsop County grow up knowing Cormie and being friends with Cormie. And yeah, that's a little bit of what we do over there.
Yeah, it's such a cool place. And I mean, just for full disclosure, the Wildlife Center is also my neighbor. So my farm is out in Olney on Highway 202. And on two sides of our farm is pretty much all Wildlife Center of the North Coast land. I think it's about 100 acres.
Yeah.
They're lovely neighbors, although sometimes there's weird bird noises that come from the center. For the longest time when we first moved there, we were convinced that there was a donkey living over there. But I think it might have been a goose. I'm not sure.
There was a goose once upon a time.
So then that was probably it. It was like, they must have donkeys. I don't know. But it's just, it's such an amazing program. And like a lot of times you're taking injured birds.
Yeah.
Birds that either they've been like, you know, hit by a car or injured in some way. Or sometimes it's like birds that maybe are like caught in a freeze. There was one year, I think, where there were a lot of pelicans that had frozen feet because they'd stayed too long. And, you know, so all kinds of different ways. And you have the ability there. There's a hospital and there's flight cages for rehabbing. It is a really amazing center.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously think it's, you know, the best place. But yeah, our work tends to be very seasonally driven, mm-hmm. Depending on what's happening in the environment at any given time. So it is a lot of, you know, baby animals in the springtime, animals impacted by, you know, big storms in the fall going into the winter, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And it's definitely a mix of like injured wildlife, sometimes wildlife that's been orphaned for whatever reason, separated from parents too early. And then sometimes animals that are just not doing well for whatever reason, like maybe it's an illness, maybe they've gotten, you know, had a hard time finding food and they've gotten too thin or dehydrated. And it's about 95% birds. So
you do some mammals.
We have a bobcat in care right now. Very cute, very fierce. but 95% of the time it's birds.
Yeah. I was reminiscing with them earlier about the time that they had a beaver in-house. I think he'd been caught at the ocean. He was like tumbling in the waves. I think down near, is it Cannon Beach?
He was on Cannon Beach. Yeah. I think at like Haystack Rock.
I know. And so he was obviously in distress, and they brought him to the Wildlife Center to rehab. And I got a phone call from them saying, do you have any willow? We need some willow and for this beaver. And it was the weirdest order I've ever gotten as a farmer. And he just went out and like whacked down a bunch of willow and like hoiked it over to the Wildlife Center, and they just put it in the cage with him so he had something to eat. And it was so sweet. I love beavers. So it was a really lovely thing to be partners with you. So it's just, I so appreciate the work that you do. And then was very excited to see, I think last year was the first time it really came on my radar, this film festival called the Wild Coast Film Festival. And Morgan, you've been really instrumental in bringing this to happen and connecting stories and films to the coast and to the Wildlife Center. So this is an event that benefits the North Coast Wildlife Center, but also is its own entity. Like, tell us a little bit about all the things that are happening this year.
Well, I would say that really this whole endeavor has been such a, like, right from the get-go, it was really Annie. I had talked about doing this for years, so I'm a conservation filmmaker and photographer, and the whole reason for picking up a camera at all is to tell stories that either connect us with conservation or support conservation. And for years, I'd been a friend of the Wildlife Center documenting Cormie and some of their other work there. And we had talked kind of casually about this idea of a film festival. And I have to really credit Annie. This is the kind of person she is. She's just like such a, let's just make this happen. You want to make this happen? And I was just like, heck yeah, I do. And that was basically it. We just decided and started this, you know, the first year of, in 6 months, scraping together this initial film festival with the idea of, you know, really wanting to make Astoria a hub for the best conservation storytelling in the world, really elevating the conservation work that's happening and using it as a vehicle to support the wildlife rescue efforts at the Wildlife Center. So, you know, we did a pretty good job that first year. We had films from all over the world, from some of the top filmmakers in the field, Amy Vitale with her film about Sudan, the last white rhino, and Carlton Ward Jr., which is a National Geographic film, A Path of the Panther, and had all sorts of pop-up events. And we just all had a really, really great time. And last year, we decided to give ourselves a little extra time to plan the second one, which I think was a really great idea. And it basically...
More than 6 months.
Yeah, more than 6 months. We took almost like a year and a half to do the second one. But that what that did is it enabled us to grow the festival by leaps and bounds, get a lot more business partners on board, more outings with photo walks and things like that. And we grew the festival by, I think, between 300% and 400% just between that first and second one. And it's just been so exciting to kind of just see how now, like that first year, it was a lot of learning the ropes and what we needed. I had my festival experience as an attendee to things like Mountain Film and Banff. But it's a whole different ballgame to organize and put one together. And now it's like, I mean, Annie has just like figured out all of these ways to just like really speed up the process and expand and make the film festival virtual now. So it's like,
and this is a cool thing that like people, if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I can't get to Astoria for these, which I have this problem too. They have a way to watch virtually. I mean, you can sign up and you would have access to all of the films that are being screened. And I think it's for a longer than just the period of time that they're being shown at the film festival. So you maybe have, I think you said like 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think it's about 2 weeks. I believe that the date it ends, I'm supposed to chaperone a middle school trip to Germany. And I was like, I should probably cut it off before then, just in case there's like technical problems that I can't solve while
smart.
I'm chasing middle school boys around Munich. But yeah, we wanted to make it. I mean, we feel like these stories are really important and really need to be told. And because of that, we want them to be accessible to the widest possible audience. And so knowing that there's a lot a lot there. It's a lot of hours of film. The virtual festival will start on the same day, on March 12th, but it'll run a little longer, and people are able to watch the films at any point during that, you know, couple week period of time. So it's not like you have to watch them at the same time that people here in Astoria are watching them.
You know, just watch at your own pace.
Watch at your own pace. If you want to watch them on like Sunday morning while you're having a cup of coffee, or, you know, in the evening with, you know, your kids before they get ready for bed, that kind of thing, you could do that. I mean, you could start and watch a couple and then come back later. And I know my in-laws last year, you know, kind of picked and chose which ones they thought would make sense to watch with their really young kids, and would just watch like, you know, one here or there. And they had a big snow day. They live in upstate New York. And so there was one day where they like watched a bunch because they were snowed in. But we feel like it's a great way to make it more accessible to people farther afield, so that they can, you know, see all these stories, but also support the work of the center. We had a business sponsor that helped cover the cost of using the streaming platform. So because of that, all of the ticket sales, like all of that money, will go directly to general operating at the Wildlife Center, which is pretty fantastic.
That is so huge.
Yeah.
That is so huge.
Yeah. So basically, like every ticket purchased for the virtual festival equals like fish for Cormie, you know, or whichever other animal, you know.
Well, just so many things. I mean, running a hospital for wildlife costs a lot of money.
And yeah, and they
you
don't
go
pay.
Through supplies, all that. No, they do not. They are not paying patients. There's no insurance for this.
Yeah,
I know. So, I mean, that is such an exciting way to do it. And I do love that people can watch at their own pace. If you want to rewatch one, you know, if you're like, I just want to see that again. Because I was looking at the lineup of these films, and some of them are fascinating. But also, where else would you get to see this? You know, there are some that are kind of obscure, but they look beautiful.
Yeah, and a lot of them are on the film festival circuit right now, so they're not films that you can see yet, mm-hmm. Other than at a festival. And there's also a lot of really amazing films by pretty local filmmakers that it's just been incredible to see the amount of talent that is in our region, probably within like a 2-hour drive of where we live.
That's
just up
so
and
cool.
down the coast. And
can you give an example of one of them that you're thinking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, Jesse Clark is one. He's been in the festival since the first year, and he's been doing this incredible series of investigative documentaries about the logging, not just the logging industry, but also the use of pesticides and chemicals on our forests, protecting clean water in local communities. And so we have a second film in a series that he's been working on that's showing in the festival this year. He did another film about reconnecting a tributary to, I forget which river it was.
It was in Washington.
It was in Washington.
I know, but I don't remember the river either.
But it was just like
terrible.
This great success story of basically removing these earthen dams to re-engineer a lost tributary of a river. And it was just this beautiful coming together of science and conservation. And a lot of the workers that worked in that film were from the timber industry, and they, instead of using their machines to clear forests, they were using their machines to restore, you know, river and forest habitat. And it was just very inspiring.
Those are cool stories. Yeah. I think I like the diversity of stories that you tell. I mean, some of them are just, you know, straight up, here's this amazing animal and here's all about it. And some of them are about people interacting with nature, art, all kinds of things. And, you know, I feel like anybody could find anything to connect to here. What I also love about what you've done with this festival is that it's not just about going and watching films. You have all this additional programming going on around it. You've organized all kinds of walks, excursions, tours, and like meet the filmmakers, presentations, talks. Can you tell us a little bit about some of that? I know a lot of these have filled up really fast and you're trying to add more, but maybe talk about some of them that have filled up really fast that you were surprised about, Annie. I think you were mentioning one this morning to me.
Yeah, so last year we did, you know, like a guided walk each day, and they didn't really fill up. And I mean, they got close, but I kind of anticipated that would be the same this year, and then it was not. The initial kind of schedule of guided walks and tours that we put out filled up pretty quickly. On Thursday night of the festival weekend, we are showing, as part of a series of films about, you know, really local things, a film that was made by the Warrenton High School filmmaking class, and they made a film about the Warrenton High School fish hatchery program, where these high school kids are running this fish hatchery, and it's a really unique program, one of the only ones in the state. And it's incredibly cool. So I thought it would be great if the kids could also do a tour of the hatchery itself for people on festival weekend. And that filled up almost instantly. People were super, super excited about it. I was getting emails from people that were like, how can you get me into this? Like, you know, is there a wait list?
It's the hot ticket.
It is, which I think is amazing. I love it so much.
It's
for so
many
reasons.
So cool for those kids, too. I mean, what a great experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And what a great way to, like, highlight, like, these teenagers that are doing something awesome. Right. And then one of the other ones that we had scheduled that filled up really quickly was members of the Chinook tribe are going to do a guided walk out in Warrenton to an area where they've worked on some fish restoration out at Tansy Creek. And that also filled up really quickly, which I understand because it seems super interesting and very, very cool. So we have added some additional things. So we brought back the tour of the Circle Creek habitat, which was a walk we did last year that was really popular. So we brought that back and are redoing it again this year.
And that's down in Seaside. That's the North Coast Land Conservancy property where their conservation center is. It's beautiful.
It's really beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, if you have not been there, I would say either try to get in on this walk or try and find a time to go there sometime this summer because it's a beautiful and a really cool way to engage.
Yeah, and their land steward, Eric Wess, is also a board member at the Wildlife Center, and so he is going to lead that tour. And then we also added, which I think is really, I'm really excited about, a guided tour of the OSU Seafood Research and Education Center, where they're working on the 100% fish project, which is basically the goal is to make seafood as sustainable as possible by using absolutely 100% of every fish. And they're doing some really clever and interesting and kind of crazy stuff over there. So they're going to be doing a guided tour where people can go inside the lab and check it out.
That is also really cool.
Really important one you left out.
Oh, yes.
Yes, the photo walk, but I was thinking the Wildlife Center.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And you can also tour the Wildlife Center.
Which
is well worth a visit, absolutely. I just want to jump in and say for those of you who maybe have joined this show a little bit late, this morning on In Season, I'm speaking with Annie Cahill and Morgan Heim, and they are both with the Wildlife Center of the North Coast, and we're talking about the Wildlife Center, we're talking about the really cool Wild Coast Film Festival that's coming up in Astoria happening on the weekend. Tell me the dates.
It starts on March 12th and goes through March 15th.
Yeah. And so this is for 2026. So this is something that will live out in the ether, in the internets, on podcasts and all different places you can listen to this show. So if you're listening to it, not in March of 2026, go check out Wild Coast Film Festival because it's going to keep happening. And whatever year or time you're listening to this, you really want to be part of this program. It's just so cool. But also, Morgan, you're going to be leading a walk about wildlife photography.
Yes, I'm going to both a talk and a walk. So we're doing a photo walk in partnership with Sony Camera and Pro Photo Supply out of Portland and out at Fort Stevens. So we're going to go to the actual historic park where the main fort is and, walk around, look for wildlife. There's just such a good mix of, you know, elk, birds, California ground squirrels. I've seen that they've been waking up and running around a lot lately. So there'll be lots of wildlife to photograph and of beautiful scenery mixed with that kind of post-apocalyptic, you know, those
the
military
bunkers
ruins.
And things. Yeah,
it's just such a cool place to walk around. And Sony will bring camera gear that people can try out during the walk.
Oh, that'll be cool.
And there'll be multiple instructors. So Gretchen K. Stewart and I will lead the walk and instruction. And we're both fellows with a group called the International League of Conservation Photographers, which is this kind of consortium of like the world's top conservation photographers working in the storytelling sphere. And we're just lucky we've got a couple living on the coast. There's also another one Justin Grubb, who's flying out all the way from the Midwest to join us as well. So we're going to have like a whole team of photographers out there that can help give you tips and tricks for strengthening your photography.
That is very cool. I would love that.
Yeah.
I mean, the difference between, it's something that always fascinates me, when you, the skill of a photographer who really knows what they're doing when they're taking photos of wildlife. And I think about my blurry photos of like, wildlife on the farm, here's a bird, what is it? I don't know. And I'm trying to capture a picture and it's just terrible. And then I look at, you know, someone who really knows what they're doing. And some of it's equipment, but it's also like how you frame things and how you capture it. And
sure, all sorts of things, composition, lighting, waiting for the right moments to happen. But I think probably one of the number one mistakes people make with any wildlife photograph, but especially birds, is a really simple one, which is basically that your shutter speed is too slow. And so you end up either getting camera shake or the bird moves too fast and it's blurry. So if you fix that one thing, that will just like immediately help so much.
And that seems to be something too, where patience is a lot of it. I mean, you really have to be willing to be out there and wait and listen and almost like disappear so that the wildlife can become more comfortable around you and then get on with doing their wildlife thing, so then you can either film them or photograph them.
Yes. Yeah.
Which, don't make a lot of noise.
Yeah. Don't, for most animals, don't make a lot of noise. Although there's one species that I found. So I have a film in the festival called Rain Dolan, and it's about the world's smallest, fattest reindeer. And these are reindeer, they're up in Svalbard, and they're so innocent, like they've not lived around humans until the last 100 years of their existence. And so they're not really scared of us. And I found that, you know, to approach them or to film them, we're walking across these big open spaces, and most animals would leave in that kind of scenario. But for filming these reindeer, one of the things that worked the best was making noise. So one day I was filming them, I was lying on my tummy in the snow filming these reindeer, and they're far off, and my friends who were with me out in the field, to stay warm, they started singing and dancing, and the reindeer just all perked up and they're like, huh, what is this? And they just started walking towards us until they were, you know, within like 50 to 100 feet of us. They just found the whole, these silly creatures like making funny noises out on the landscape, such a bizarre thing.
They came and checked it out. Not frightening, just curious.
No, but I would say that's not the norm. Usually, yeah you do want to disappear, often wearing clothing or, you know, sitting in blinds and things like that to hide your presence.
I can only imagine. I mean, I don't know that I would never want to be laying on my stomach in the snow waiting for the photo opportunity, but I'm really glad that someone is out there doing it, because then we get these amazing photographs and we get these amazing films. You said too earlier that this year, like you had a lot of submissions. Mm-hmm. For the film festival,
was that 75? I think. Mm-hmm. I think it was in the 70s. It might have even been close to 80. And they were all so good. It was really challenging to curate the like final film blocks, because we had to say no to a lot of things that we actually really liked. Mm-hmm. I think in the end, what that means is, what we are showing next weekend is like an incredibly strong lineup of films, just really beautifully done and the best of the best. And I think also, I think we've curated a lineup that will really resonate with people. I think that was also part of what we really looked at, was not just like how technically good is this, or how like pleasant is it to watch, or how pretty are these pictures, but really wanting to put together blocks of films that we felt like people would really get something from, and that they would really benefit from the storytelling there, and that they could connect to. I think we did a really good job. I'm really excited.
I'm proud of it too.
Yeah.
I was working on the trailer, which we just released yesterday, and afterwards I was telling my husband, I was just like, oh my gosh, you know, watching this trailer, it just like, it feels so good. Like there's so much goodness coming out of all of the people and the scenes and the moments in this trailer, and all the films are like that. It's like, I don't know how you couldn't just fall in love with people who do this kind of work, because there's just so much goodness coming out of it. And I think that that's something that the world really needs to see more of right now.
Absolutely. I just watched the trailer last night too, and I was very like, oh, oh, I mean, it was beautiful. And just these hits of stories and images, you know, all in all different landscapes, all clearly all different stories being told, but like with that resonant theme of nature and wildlife and connection that I feel like people are really hungry for.
Yeah, now. I think so too.
I think there is such, people seem to be so drawn to these topics, and especially if you're not fortunate enough to live in a place like we do. I mean, I get kind of jaded sometimes because, you know, like I'm driving to town and there's like bald eagles flying around and just amazing, like kingfisher diving and things like that. And I know that most people in the world don't get to experience that just as on a daily drive. We do live in an incredibly beautiful place, but even living here, sometimes you don't connect or really think about the natural world around us and the creatures that are living in it and how they're interacting with us and we're interacting with them and how we're affecting one another. So this opportunity is amazing. Annie, before we're kind of winding towards the end of our conversation, which I'm sad about because I could talk about this forever, but I want you to tell people how they can find out more about the Wildlife Center of the North Coast, how they can connect, a website, whatever, however they can connect with you guys.
Yeah.
And then maybe how they can find out more about the film festival.
Yeah, so the Wildlife Center is very much online these days. We've got an Instagram account and a Facebook account and all that good business. But our website is coastwildlife.org, and that's where you can find out about our work and also about visiting the center. We do guided tours on a regular basis if people book them ahead of time. And then for the film festival, it's wildcoastfilm.org, and that website will have the trailer. You can see the beautiful trailer that Morgan made. And it also has a list of, you know, when all the film blocks are happening, what's in those film blocks, and also all of the other associated events, pop-up discussion panels at, you know, Fort George and Obelisk and Pilot House, the various walks and tours that are scheduled, and how to get tickets.
And you can just show up. You don't have to buy. Do you have to buy tickets in advance, or do you? Can you just show up to go see a movie?
In theory, you can just show up at the theater and buy
and this is
a
at
ticket
the Columbian.
At the Columbian primarily. There's a couple of screenings on Thursday night of festival weekend at other locations that I am definitely recommending people get tickets to in advance. It is hard to say if it's going to sell out this year. So if people are able to get tickets in advance, I would recommend they do. But our hope is that there will also be the ability to just show up at the theater, you know, before the screening to get a ticket.
Yeah. And we should note, too, that the pop-up, so a lot of, you know, the films, obviously, and the guided walks, they're for pass holders. But the pop-up events are free and open to the public. So, you know, a big part of this festival is we didn't want it to be something that was only something you could experience if you bought a ticket. We want you to feel it kind of infused throughout the town and bring support to local businesses. And so anything on the program that you see that's listed as a pop-up event, like there's one at the Obelisk Theater, that's the Otter Gap, I think, talking about otter reintroduction.
So
and that's a mix
that
of science, NGOs, and storytellers together in this one panel. And a couple at Fort George, those are free. So show up, support your local business, and just have a good time and listen to some interesting talks.
Thank you so much for talking with me about this today. I'm really excited. I'm looking forward to it and just love the work that you guys are both doing. So thank you so much. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Get out and see some films and engage with nature.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
You're so welcome.